Without any further wasting of time, I'll introduce Hansa Patel, who was advisor and executive director of the All India Institute of Local Government. I'd welcome her. I'd ask you to give a very warm welcome.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, honourable chair of the session, my colleagues, and important guests on this day. It's a pleasure to be here along with the UCLG program in the important event where culture is more important. I was not prepared with any audiovisual, thus I would like to have more light and no audiovisual system. First of all, I would like to appreciate all we heard about culture and the views from experts. For all of us, culture has always remained as an important element which binds people together. It is a link when two people meet to get married. It tells something more when two families come together. And it's very, very important when two countries are coming closer and are neighbors. We think of harmony and not war when the countries are neighbors. It is time when we understand the meaning of culture in the way it should be used at the development of the cities in local authorities. We can use this as a fourth pillar for the global sustainability. All of you might have known the Indian history and its culture. I would like to tell you today, India with its multiple regional states, multiple languages, I must say multiple regional faiths, has a strong culture values which binds the country with one common goal, and that is building growth and economy of the country. The whole world is looking forward to this developing country which has women at its core. Empowering women is our goal. It has been since our history. Lots of goddesses were being worshipped, and we call our country as Bharat Mata, Mother India, and we always consider Earth as Mother, as a whole. Thinking about 33% women empowered, we are looking forward for their role to bring the importance of culture into the community. It's interlinked. Communities bring in beautiful events which becomes culture. And culture is, as somebody said in the morning, it is a part of science, but it is a part of society too, as a social element. Women will bring a lot of good opportunities, and this is the point I said, because India is empowering women by giving education to girls, trying to hold girl child as an important child in the house, and bringing women into different sectors like business and other opportunities. I must say that ICLEI has played an important role for local government for sustainability. As we heard just now, has focused on Agenda 21. And when you say Agenda 21, it means to save natural resources. When Agenda 21 was formed and the natural resources were to be taken care, we first thought of the small towns and small cities, medium towns and small cities, and then thought of making cities as important than nations. I understand nations are more important as a whole. But we thought of empowering cities to bring sustainable future, sustainable development. As we have talked a lot about the world earlier, but let me say a little bit where we recently worked, and that was ICLEI started thinking that the world as a whole can be divided as a flat world, but with five different regions so that it can be taken care individually. We started with like America, Latin America, to coming down to Europe, coming down to different places. Asia was the last where I'm coming back to. We were last week in Israel, Middle East, led by lot many governors of different places. I can name them, but important person was the former Prime Minister, Tony Blair. Our aim was to bring four religions together so that things can be shared as a common utility. First of all, I must say the culture which was needed there was youth culture. Youth together can play a very important role to bring their parents, their ancestors, their city citizens, their colleagues together. And we could see that. It was an event which brought regional cooperation. The heading was regional cooperation, and our regional cooperation meant four different things. First was to share water and earth, which was very important at that point over there. Second was to share religion as a knowledge of awareness to the people, to bring one say which would let everyone know that all religion has one say and it can become a single culture. And other two things were related to the development of the local region. I come back to Asia. Today I'm here with you and I'm glad to say that yes, culture as an element can be the fourth pillar to bring sustainability in the cities. India needs something more other than its development and money and heavy population. We need good sanitation. The whole world needs good sanitation. And one word which I talked earlier was important, is important here too. We have to make our environment healthy at a global level. We can call it in different ways. As we say, climate change is taking a different role, and it is our time to bring culture together, make awareness so that we can have clean, neat environment, sustainable environment for the coming generation. Thank you very much.
So I'll throw it open for questions. I've got one that I could probably start with, and I suppose I'll direct a question to you, Felicity Anne. How do you see the ALGA, what do you think the ALGA will do with this policy initiative that's initiated at an international level? How will UCLG use that policy to further its work at this stage?
Well, I think what we've got to do is, as I said earlier, make our members aware. I think there's a good level of understanding of the importance of culture in communities. I think anybody who's an elected member of a council is a member of that community, and clearly they're part of the culture and involved in the culture in their community. But I think as far as guiding documents and the principles and the things that have been developed, it's about making sure that our sector is aware of the resources that are available there to help them to build their policies and to develop their strategies in a cohesive way. And perhaps, you know, it's making sure that there's that support available through ALGA. We run a wonderful conference every year. So perhaps the opportunities to run some sessions to give people support. I think, you know, that's probably the principal thing for us as an organisation, as well, as I said earlier, feeding into Minister Crean's document. I know there was some cynical comments made about that in an earlier session, and whilst we might have a wry smile ourselves about it, that's the game we're in. So if you don't play the game, then you definitely won't be able to change anything. So we're in the game, and we'll be making comments to the government. So if we can shift or advocate or strengthen any of the elements of that document, if you know, we'd love to hear your feedback. I'm sure many people in here will make their own submissions. But if, you know, local government gets its act together and we are all singing from the same hymn sheet and the messages are strong and consistent, then I think we have the best chances to make the most impact. So I think there's a couple of things that we can clearly do just off the top of my head. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Anyone else got a question out there? Nalika. If you wouldn't mind introducing yourself before you ask your question, that would be great.
Hi, I suppose I'm Nalika from Moreland City Council, and probably bringing it down to a more local level. Victoria goes, we've got elections coming up next year, and my question is, lots of different councillors, you know, we talked about valuing and the aspirations that the governance body have, but what at a local government level can we do leading up to those elections to get people prepared thinking about the value of culture as far as administration as well?
Well, I think, you've got two elements, the elected body and your administration. And I think for those people like Paul in the envious position of being able to select their staff, then being clear in your job and person specification and in your structure of your organisation that you actually have an opportunity for, as we do, a cultural development section in your council. That's a start. I think that sends a very clear message. And then, of course, it's always good if you can get some like-minded spirits who get elected. And that then, I think, you know, comes from, making sure that the candidates, because you're all voters as well, that you ask the candidates what their views are around these issues. And I think it's fairly clear. I'll never forget my first election as a councillor. I am actually a directly elected mayor. I'm actually not a councillor. But, I mean, I understand when I come east of, you know, the border that I'm called councillor. But my first election, I was elected as a councillor. And I remember we have a little red-bricked villa as our art gallery then. We've got a beautiful A-class gallery now. But at the time, the director rang me. I'd been elected about 2 months and said, Felicity, we'd like you to open the next art exhibition because you were the only person who on your election information said anything about the arts. So, well, hopefully, I mean, that's a long time ago now. You know, that's, 12 or 13 years ago now. So hopefully things have changed. And that was just a small part of what culture is. I'm not saying it is only about the arts. But I think, you know, as people, we have to ask those who are going to represent us and be our leaders what their values are about, not only about the environment and the economy and about our community well-being, but about culture as well. And if people don't think that's important, then they won't be advocates for it. So I think there's a couple of things we can do on both of those fronts there, and obviously encouraging people in your groups who you know have a strong passion for this area to stand for election. Because it's only when you get people in the tent that you can actually start to make changes.
Thank you. Any other questions there?
Thanks, Chris Meadows-Taylor. Edward, a question of you, but also I'm interested in the other panellists. One of the bodies of work that you talked about that developed under Agenda 21, culture, was work on culture and social inclusion. And I'm just interested to find out a little bit more about the thinking of the role. I think it's an important one. I think a lot of us would think that. But interested to hear from you about the link and the work that came out of culture and social inclusion. But to ask then the other two panellists too about their feelings of that link in terms, a lot of us have issues with social inclusion in our communities and the need to work on that. How can we use culture and the understanding of culture to advance social inclusion?
Yes. This is very important for us because the new globalization dynamics puts the culture in the middle of economical processes, but probably the bad news is that the growth, the economical growth, not means culture brings economical growth, of course. This is evident. You were talking about figures. In countries like India, the Bollywood cinema or another kind of manifestations are growing and growing. But this growth, without a social approach to the culture, not necessarily means development. There's no a formal relation between growth and development. Then one of the strategic approaches of the agenda is try to balance and combine in a sustainable way economical development and social development. And social development means particularly social cohesion, social inclusion. What's the contribution of the arts and the culture to the social inclusion. There's an easy way to say that probably without acknowledgement of minorities, the knowledge society is not running very well. One of the key contradictions of the knowledge society is that everybody can express by themselves. Never make a film or a music disc or a book was easier than now. It's extremely easy in a technical way. Then we advanced a lot in the capability to express and the right to express. But if I can speak but nobody hears me, if I am invisible in cultural terms inside a society, the cohesion, the inclusion, never is possible. In my point of view, and this is the sprite of the Agenda 21, the contribution of the arts and the culture to social inclusion and social cohesion is make evident this lack of acknowledgement, this lack of cultural security of important parts of the community, and give resources and instruments to provide this right to be heard and right to be visible. More or less, this is the core idea of the relation between culture and inclusion. I want to say another thing. It was interesting try to think between the two contributions, because probably from India there was an excellent approach from this anthropological dimension of culture, and this is extremely important. And hearing carefully the speech from Australia, they were more focused on the idea of the sociological and artistical dimension of culture. One of the aims of the Agenda 21 movement is also try to integrate these two approaches, traditionally in confrontation, but in our point of view, with an enormous need of integration and coordination. The popular cultures is not the opposite of the fine arts. The community culture is not the opposite of the excellence culture. One of the main tasks of a local culture policy is try to get the excellence coming from the proximity, make the proximity excellent and make the excellence near to the people. It means a different position and a different dialogue between the traditional conceptions that separate extremely arts and culture. Culture are not only fine arts. Culture is a wider domain with lots of other things, and we heard that from India a few minutes ago. And the way to combine all these questions is probably one of the main contents of the documents of the philosophy of the Agenda 21. And of course, he has lots to do with inclusion, cohesion, and working against the exclusion.
Please allow me. I agree to my colleague here that Agenda 21 has played an important role. And so your question, what is the difference between inclusiveness of everyone? As always, the local authorities, when they are trying to build something, the city is getting developed and the infrastructures are coming up. It is time that we involve the local communities. So inclusiveness from those who are not aware of the development, who have no vision towards development, but they want to save their small traditional things on the road. So the relation between the maker and the person who's going to enjoy has to have a good relation so that they understand the development. Agenda 21 was mainly pressing on environmental development, and while doing any environmental good, you do not harm the environment by itself, was the main reason for inclusiveness. Sir has told about Indian Bollywood, but I would further go ahead to the past and talk about a small movie known as, not a small movie, a very well-known movie known as Avatar, where we understand the old traditional tribal people's life and the new generation and science and technology. We have to bring two together to bring harmony. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Martin.
Look, I just want to add something on that point about the link between culture and social inclusion from the experience of Australia, which is that the whole way I think about social inclusion generally is about economic participation, frankly. And the way of broadening that out is to say that often marginalised peoples and communities have enormous cultural value, if not overt economic value. In other words, in Australia, we've had migrant communities forever, giving us enormous cultural vitality, enormous cultural contributions, whether it be from food to theatre to art, etc., etc. And, of course, the Indigenous Australian community is now being seen as being an enormous cultural resource for all of us. So there's a great cultural value to what everybody can add to the life, the vitality of life, beyond the economic narrow way of thinking about inclusion. The other point is, I think many cultures that are somewhat marginalised in a place like Australia have a strong emphasis on storytelling and sharing stories, and I know in India this is a big tradition. And that's the best way to get dialogue between peoples within communities, to share stories, whether it be through theatre, the story of food, the coming together, convivial meetings around storytelling, is an excellent way of generating inclusion and inclusive activities.
Yeah, up the back there, Judy Spokes, I think you.
Thank you. Look, I'd just be interested in the panellists, all of the panellists' comments and possibly colleagues in the room as well, about what happens to all of these issues and these challenges when we consider the fact that geographic territories, real places where real people live and rub up against one another and either make art together or not or whatever, how all of those real places and these issues are impacted by the increasing reality of our virtual experience and virtual connection and our cultural life and the drivers of that being, you know, this sort of digital world, the whole social media phenomenon, all of the things over which we have very little control, but there's some very big money and there's also some very creative fringe elements operating in that space. And I just would, I know it's a wide question, but just some comment about the digital age and the implications of these ideas in that, given that that the change that it wreaks on our relationship with real spaces and places.
I'll have a go first. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think that's what I've observed, and particularly with, and I think one of my colleagues mentioned it before, with our young people. I didn't get a chance to respond earlier, but with the issues around inclusion, lots of examples of, we had a big multicultural group of young people in our youth service who put together a book of their traditional recipes, you know, favourites of theirs. They came together and they prepared them and they shared them and then they put them up on the web. And they, you know, had pictures of themselves and they did a whole big presentation of things like that. So I think the two things can work together. But I don't think as much as, you know, the young people and even older people are enjoying the use of that technology and what it allows them, what I've found is that our cultural development people are still finding that when they get grants for a festival and there's opportunities for funding to work with particular groups of people to do an arts project, they still get people coming. People are still keen to be with other people. I think that innate, not everyone is as passionate about being with people as what I am, but in the main we are social beings and we like to be with each other. And what we've done, we have a festival every 2 years and it's called Many Cultures, One Earth, and we put funding towards that and we've had, you know, the Indian Bollywood group, you know, dancing with our Iranian community and you know, and then we've had our Indigenous people and our Cook Islanders. You know, we've put all of our, brought all of our groups together in projects where we've actually, they've learnt from each other and they've come up with something that's unique and new. As I said before, culture is dynamic. It's changing all of the time. Cultures don't remain stagnant. They're always evolving. So, you know, and, you know, of course we video that, we put it on CDs, we put it on in our libraries and we celebrate it. And I think we're trying to use technology to get the messages out there to encourage more people to be involved. But I think we've still got a need, and I think people still want to, come together to showcase their art and to learn about other people's art and culture. But I guess, we, you know, with the young people, they're wanting to do, you know, doco stories and, you know, a whole range of different things that they're doing where they're the storytellers and they're using technology, I guess, as well. But I'm hoping that it'll never move away totally from where people will want to come together and experience each other's culture and to share and to learn from each other.
I agree with her. As she said, I miss telling you something which was more important. The religion is always there in the air, I must say. It prevails. It's a faith. But while we were in that place, Israel, working for the regional cooperation, it was Jews, Islam, Christianity, and Palestinian group together. And the best part was youth playing the role with a separate style of music, Arabic music, and English song. And it was wonderful. It says, come together. It was wonderful, I must say. So youth can play an important role, and we need inclusiveness of everyone. Just like we have a local authority board, we have ruling party and an opposition party and another party. We must bring all of them together to give their say and then come to the conclusion that is necessary on this day. I appreciate.
Yeah, I like to came back to general principles. One of the main discussions during the processes of the elaboration of the Agenda 21 was the question if talking about culture in an universal and global language was or not possible. Lots of people involved in the process says that it's impossible because each culture is in itself a way to understand the world and to explain culturally how the world is. But at least the parallelism between the ecological conscience in the ambient and in the culture field was extremely useful for us because probably 25, 30 years ago when the ecological thinking was in the beginning, the problem was the same. Why talking about environment in an universal way, it's easier than try to talk about culture in an universal way. Landscapes are different, environments are different. Diversity is a condition of sustainability, even if you are talking about a natural environment or if you are talking about a cultural environment. Humanity, probably, we are living in this intersection between two environments, the natural one and the cultural one. Then, even logicals and manifestations are different because the waste of natural environment is a serious danger, but the waste of cultural environment is a very different question. Creativity grows more and more and more with a different, in a different ways. This exercise to establish dialogue in an ecological perspective between the natural systems and the cultural systems became very useful and very interesting for us, people for culture, because at least we are living with enormous, I think we have enormous prejudices and contradictions. For instance, around the possibilities and limitations of a cultural policy, nobody puts in question the need in a country of an educational policy. This is obvious, but today there are lots of countries and peoples and political parties that say, no, the culture is a matter independent of it's a social thing. But without a policy, the danger and the contradictions with the general development became extremely important. We have lots of contradictions, lots of paradoxes. For instance, one of the most important problems at the local level with the culture is the extreme variability of actions when politicians arrive, when politicians move, because there's no an established, negotiated, and explicit policy. If I am the responsible of culture, I decided to do cinema or musicians or fine arts, or I don't know, and when I came back, the next one can decide another question. This is impossible in other kind of local policies like health, education. Of course, they are variations, different approaches regarding different political points of view. But the core, the hard disk, the important matter of education, health, and in our case, culture, must be the same, must be continuated. These reasons are part of the reflections that involved ourselves in the discussion around Agenda 21. And I tried to report you these reflections and discussions because probably in your cities and in your countries, these questions are also important, and of course is very important to try to find appropriate solutions working together, working one each with another.